Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Warren, Michigan, and is America's premier sports artist. His paintings have been featured in Time, Sports Illustrated, and Fortune magazines. In addition, the Baseball Hall of Fame, Football Hall of Fame, Hockey Hall of Fame, and Basketball Hall of Fame have all showcased and used his works. He's known as the Maestro and the Upside Down Artist. His name, Doug West. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with America's premier sports artist, the Maestro, Doug West, a good friend. Doug, welcome. Honor to have you.
Same here, Jack. Nice to see you.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your parents?
My dad was a strong father figure. I loved my father. He was an artist that had to raise four sons with my mother. And it was very difficult to make a living as an artist in those days. So what he did is he poured his dreams into his sons, myself being the youngest, and raised each of us to really follow the passion of our heart. My dad was someone who sat us each down and told us that we were Wests and we could become anything we wanted to become. And I believe that at 6 years old, and I believe it now.
What did you learn from your mom?
My mom has a great heart, and from my mother I learned compassion, charity. My mom is someone that would give her all to anyone that needed it. In fact, she's doing that right now, taking care of my aunt, who has a few health difficulties. But she's someone that would give you anything you ask for. And for my mother, that's what I learned, and humility.
What did your dad do, Doug, to actually earn money?
My father in the 70s was involved in comic books and memorabilia, along with my mother. And so they would travel around the country at comic book conventions, and I would tag along. And then later, I think in 1980, he became involved in sports memorabilia. My dad loved sports, loved baseball. All my brothers, myself, loved sports. So it was sort of natural for myself to fit in. But in those days, there wasn't any sports art, really. It was mainly baseball cards, collectibles, things like that. So he saw an opportunity for me at the sports conventions to really move my art career forward, doing what I loved, which is figure rendering, color, animation, and I think really the emotions of an athlete can capture all those things.
Doug West, when did you first realize that your role in life and God's master plan was to be an artist?
Jack, I was probably 4 years old, sitting on my dad's lap, and I had the idea in my mind that I would be a great artist.
Eating a taco.
No, I didn't eat tacos in those days. It was grilled cheese for me in those days. But I had that concept that I would be a great artist, and so I dedicated myself to that dream. And I guess I didn't know anything different. And for me, I think that's why I'm such a believer in dreams, because for me, I'm living that dream. But at that early age, I knew who I was and what I wanted to be. And every time my father looked into my eyes, I looked into his, I saw that dream.
Now, word has it that your dad would draw half of a figure and ask you to draw the other half.
I think at first he got a kick out of that. He would draw half of a superhero, say a Batman or Spider-Man. And originally the drawings were scribbles. But they became really good, and it really executed some great skills for me to develop, I think, perspective and facial structures. And after a while, you couldn't tell who had drawn which half. And my father would run into the living room, and he'd show everybody that, you know, who had drawn each half. He was so proud of me. And so, but it was a natural gift, Jack. When I was little, it was a God-given gift, and I dedicated an incredible amount of time to just being by myself, illustrating, drawing, and imagining.
You're 16 years old, and you become a professional. You get paid for the first time. What did you sell, and do you remember how much you got?
We went to a comic book show, and I think it was a drawing of Donald Duck or Spider-Man. I probably got $6, maybe $15 for it, and I was thrilled. At 16 years old, you don't need much money. It was fun just to sell something that I had a passion in doing. And from there, it was quick that I had comic book characters all over the backboards. We went to shows, and we would have backboards where I would sort of showcase the artwork. And I began to take orders at 16, 17, 18 from fans who liked superheroes and different things. Before the sports art, I was a comic book illustrator.
You've met so many Hall of Famers of all sports, but one of your great stories is Muhammad Ali. Can you share us that story?
Jack, in the early 80s, Ali, he really had his faculties then. There was a sports show here in Detroit, and I had taken an order in Kentucky for a Muhammad Ali painting. I went to the sports show to get the painting signed, and the lineup at the sports show is it's wrapped around the building. By the time I got to Muhammad Ali, my heart was pounding. And it's really like an assembly line when they sign these pieces. When I got to Muhammad Ali, he stopped. And he looked at me and said, "What is this?" And I said, "Well, it's a painting." He said, "Well, what do you want me to do with it?" And I said, "Can you autograph it?" He said, "Who did this?" I said, "I did." And he said, "You the greatest." Needless to say, that brought out a laugh. But he signed the piece with four lines. It was poetry, really, about entering the kingdom of heaven. And that piece, once I delivered that to the collector, was a treasure.
What did you get for that piece, Doug West?
Once I delivered it to the collector, it was a treasure. Jack, I think I sold that painting for $95. I think the autograph at that time was $4, maybe $8. Unbelievable.
You've come a long way. Doug West, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
Welcome back. We're with the man who's known as the Upside Down Artist. Doug, once in a while, you show children today some of your paintings from 25 years ago. What does your soul speak to you when you do this?
You know, this is an interesting thing. Kids, when they see the artwork, they have a certain look in their eyes. It's almost like walking into a museum and seeing larger-than-life paintings. But when they see my art that I did at their age, it changes. Kids come up to me and say, "I can draw like that. I can do that." I said, "If you can do that, then you can do this. But you have to stick with it." Kids are great. I feel part of my journey here isn't just as an artist. It's to bring out in people that passion and dream that perhaps they've forgotten about, that all children have. Because anything is possible, Jack. You know this. So when kids do, I had an experience, I had a little boy come up to me once at a show. He walked up to the table and he said, "Hey, mister, how much for the cutout?" Now, he was talking about an image that I had painted in front of a portrait in a painting. And I said, "Kid, you just gave me the greatest compliment that I've ever had." Because what he was really talking about was that I paint with dimension, perspective. There's techniques that I've learned that you can make an image look as if it's popping off the canvas. And when he said that to me, it was greater than the best sale I've ever had in a painting from that little boy.
What's that technique?
Well, the technique is keeping the images in the background soft. And in the foreground, you want to use the brightest whites and the deepest, darkest tones. That will create dimension in a painting. It's really incredible to use. It's fun.
The maestro, Doug West, how has your painting style evolved over these many years?
Now, this is interesting because early in the 90s, I was doing very detailed, almost photographic type work. But, Jack, when I met you, what was in my soul was something that was maturing. It was a different style. And you gave me the opportunity to use that style. And that style is Impressionism, which is using the smallest number of brushstrokes to create the impression that something's there that isn't, and realism. And that was where the work began. Now, since that time, in the last 5-6 years, I had a chance to talk with Peter Max, who's a pop artist, wonderful artist. And Peter Max talked to me about the use of color, bright colors. And I watched from across the room how people were attracted to the bright colors. And I thought, why not separate my work even further from photography by using bright colors, brush strokes, and more raw images rather than the photographic realism. So it has definitely evolved. If you look at work from 5 or 10 years ago and work today, it's the same artist behind the easel, but it's definitely evolved. And it's going to change soon. Again, I've got some new ideas.
I remember the weekend of the Ryder Cup here. You were with Rick Riley, and he spent about 3-4 hours looking at your works. The famous writer for Sports Illustrated. And at the end of the night, he wrote in his book, Doug West, my dream in life is now to do with words what you do with paint.
Wow, that's a great compliment from a great writer.
50% of the time, you paint upside down.
Yes, that's true.
The name, the upside down artist.
Yes.
Why?
Well, I hid that.
80% of the time you think upside down.
It's true. It has to do with the medication the doctor put me on. No, I'm kidding. The upside down thing came along because, Jack, when I'm painting, if I were to do your portrait and study your eye, I can capture your eye, I can capture your nose, your ears. But to assemble all those images to form a face, I find difficult after spending hours studying one part of the face. So by turning the painting upside down, I'm able to assemble it quickly and see the geometric shapes and angles that form the face. I'll work that way for people think something's wrong with me. They come by the art studio and look at the easel. The paintings are all upside down, but it really works. I like to paint that way. And then suddenly when I turn the painting right side up, I really need to be an artist because then it comes to light and movement. But I know that everything is in its proper place. It has to do with foundation, I think.
Many people have looked at your works, admired them, and said, Doug West, this cannot be done with watercolors.
Now, when I was a little guy, I painted about 8 hours a day. I had a little room in the basement. I had a little portable radio, and I painted in oil with the idea that someday I would become a great artist. And that not only that I would live my dream, but I'd live my father's dream, which was to be an artist. So I took that same technique of thick, opaque paint and brought it into watercolors. It's very unusual. Watercolor painting is transparent, translucent. I guess I didn't actually think about it that much, but I brought something different to the watercolor painting. You can come up and touch it. I like people to do that, in fact, when they see my work, to touch the painting. Get as close as you can. But it's very different for watercolors, I think.
I've heard you talk about painting what you think people will buy versus painting with, quote-unquote, your soul.
That difference is, that's a night and day difference. In the 80s, the artwork I did was good. It's fine work. But I was painting what I thought people wanted. When I discovered in the 90s that I needed to paint for myself, really, and bring out what was within me, that is a journey in itself. And to paint that way entirely changed the art. And if you've noticed in the paintings recently, there's life in the eyes, a twinkle in the eye. And I think that comes from that inner beauty that God has put within each of us that I hopefully am able to transmit to the canvas.
Back in 2002, you wrote your philosophy of life. And in it, you talked about the fear to express my real soul. I knew I needed to let go of the fear that imprisoned my heart somehow I understood my willingness to honestly view what I had done would have an effect. God knew my soul, and no one else ever would, unless I was willing to reveal myself. A lot of listeners tonight, Doug, they know their soul, but they're just afraid, and their fear paralyzes them. What do you say to those listeners?
I think it's good to find someone that will encourage you to pursue that. And I think if I gained anything from my father, it was somewhere deep within me was courage. It does take a lot of courage, because when you express yourself, you're going to face rejection. And oftentimes, we've talked about this, oftentimes there will be a crowd of people saying, telling you why you can't do it. So I think it's very important, in a sense, to keep your dreams, your ideas a little bit private and begin to express them. Get in motion with it. Start to do it. Start to develop it. Start to try it. Be willing to fail. I failed. Many times I failed. But all it takes is one success, and you are running up that ladder. So I think that anyone that has a dream within your life to be complete, you have to pursue that dream. You have to try it. I do not want to be 90 years old. I have a deathbed scene in my mind where I'm 95 years old in the bed. And I want to know that in my life, I did everything within me that was placed within me. And it's a constant river. There's always more in there. Once you start to dip your hand in, you'll find all sorts of things that you're able to do.
Doug West, you're a world-class artist. You're an American treasure. Talk to us about the greatest artist of all time, God.
That's a deep subject. God, you know, Jack, when I look at nature, when I look at the leaf, you might laugh, but I study the color of fish. The beauty that's placed within the colors that flow and form together, I think artists try to reproduce, and it's there naturally. I think that God is a mystery, and the beauty that he creates is a constant mystery we're each evolving towards and each hungering for. Greatest artist.
This was something I read about you. Doug West's paintings themselves tell a story. They encompass the career of the athlete with action and emotion. You can feel not only the athlete in his or her life, but you feel a sense of accomplishment, of time and movement. They are living works.
I believe that, Jack. In the early 90s, I realized that I was painting from the wrong place. I need to paint from within. And when I did, what came out in the work was almost living, breathing, sweating people. They became alive. The eyes became alive. There's a twinkle in the eyes. I wanted to separate my work from other artists with the idea that instead of just producing, I wanted each piece to have its own glory, to try as best I could that the painting would stand alone in its own right and have its own glory. It's a thrill to see athletes stand in front of a painting that you've done of them and to see their eyes perhaps water up, or invite someone over to look at it. You see that look in their eyes that I've captured something within them that I'm almost not aware of. And I wanted to say that as an artist, oftentimes I don't feel like an artist. I feel more like a conductor. I'm sort of conducting. God is the artist, and I'm just the conductor moving the wand. That's my job. And he does the work through me. It's magical. And oftentimes I don't see that till the painting's done.
We're with the maestro, Doug West, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Now, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
We're talking to America's premier sports artist, Doug West, and his works have appeared in Time, Sports Illustrated, Fortune, Tall Cotton, Doug. Tall Cotton. You often talk about trusting your instincts. My soul is in my paintings. Talk to us about trusting one's instincts.
Well, trusting your instincts is so important. It's kind of like going out on a branch, out on a limb, and getting out a little further and a little further. And I think we each, as we do that, we kind of look for someone to reinforce our ideas or whatever we're pursuing. But oftentimes, all you have is your instincts. And I think it's crucial in any of the arts or even in business to have an instinct about where you want to go. And oftentimes, you'll be running against the current of where the crowd's going. That's the scary part.
One of the many things I admire about you is that you're open to critiques. Mm. A lot of artists, I was around thousands of software developers, and they all thought their way was the only way. When people give you thoughts, you accept them. How is it you do that?
My father was German, and he was tough. He was a great artist, and he would stand me up as a little boy, and I would bring a piece of art in, and he would critique it. And I'd have to stand there, much like you took piano lessons, Doctor. I had to just stand there and take it. And I would sweat. Oftentimes, I would just stand there sweating, and I was so sure that I had it right, and he would always seem to find something, especially in those early developing years, find something that needed to be changed. And the more I thought about it, of course, I wanted to please my dad, but the more I thought about it, I thought, what is my goal? My goal is to be the greatest artist that I can be. That's my goal. To be that, I need to be willing to listen. I guess that might be when I get the maddest at myself, is when I don't listen and I think about it later. But the willingness to listen, and I've been around, my family's a musical family and an artistic family. I've been around musicians that will not even listen. And I've often said I could know nothing about anything, but I might have an idea, which is ideas are free. And if we'll improve the work, you've got to at least consider it. It's made huge, huge, huge advantages to the work that I do by listening to critiques.
You've met maybe 100 Hall of Famers, baseball, football, hockey, basketball. Doug West, have one or two of those Hall of Famers stood out?
There are two that I'd like to talk about. The first is you and I went to Cooperstown. Cooperstown, New York, the Baseball Hall of Fame. Fantastic, fantastic trip. And I don't know if you recall, but we met Gaylord Perry. Had dinner with Gaylord Perry, he's a Hall of Fame pitcher. And I had done a painting of Roberto Clemente. It's a terrific piece. Roberto Clemente is a Hall of Famer. Famous. Puerto Rican. Very famous. And Gaylord Perry looked at the piece, talking about critiques. He stopped and he said, it's wrong. I said, it's wrong. He said, I don't like it. I said, you don't like it? Now I want to find out why. At least he was honest with me. He said, I pitched to Roberto Clemente, and I never pitched to him that way. And Jack, I had moved the plate, I'd moved the ball in the painting, and he was right. Now, Gaylord Perry made me not only change the painting, but send him a photograph of the painting, which I did, and he was pleased. Another player that...
You had the ball on the inside of the plate.
Yeah.
And you had moved the plate closer to Clemente, and he said Clemente didn't stand that close, and you never pitch inside of Clemente, he'd kill you.
That's right. That's right. So I made the change. I'd rather hear it in those early stages. I'd rather hear it before perhaps 10,000 people see a piece. I'd rather hear it in the early stages. Another change actually was the president of the Baseball Hall of Fame, to mention baseball. He had a critique on a painting that I did about changing the line of the players that were in the clouds, which was, Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Joe DiMaggio, Mickey Mantle. I changed that order and had the timeline of the Yankees. It's a great critique. It made that painting fantastic. If it would have been published and I would have heard it afterwards, it would have broke my heart. But there was we had an opportunity to go to the Masters. I don't know if you recall. And at the Masters tournament, Lem Barney was one of the guests in one of those small little biplanes. We had the horrible weather for the flight. And Lem Barney was someone that stood out to me. Because here's a Football Hall of Famer who steps out of the crowd and meets and greets average people doing average jobs, working hard. The person that ran the line, the person that sold sandwiches, the lady sitting on the bench, he would take time and stop and talk to them. Now, in my eyes, that's a real Hall of Famer because he stepped out of that role, or in fact used his role as an opportunity to make people feel exceptional. It was really fantastic to watch Lem Barney.
you started something a couple years ago entitled The Maestro Messages.
Yes.
What is that?
The Maestro Message is, it's an inspirational letter. And I use art as a tool. But behind the art is the inspiration that I hope my art brings. So the Maestro Message is an inspirational, uplifting message from my heart to your heart. And Jack, I believe that souls connect. It does, from whatever your perspective is, your background, I believe when you speak from your soul, you can connect with anyone. And that's what I hope the Maestro Messages do, to connect to people, to uplift them, to bring their day a little higher, to let them see or remember a dream that perhaps they've forgotten about.
How can we contact you? How can we find out about the Maestro Message, learn more about you?
I have a website. It's www.artistdougwest.com. They're free to anyone that wants to download a Maestro Message. I think there's about a dozen up there. You can go right to that website and download the Maestro Messages, see some of the portfolio, some of the celebrities that we've met with, read a bio. It's fun, and it's constantly changing.
If you would, let's talk about a couple of them. You had one a year and a half ago entitled Seeing the Flaws.
Now, this is a good one. Seeing the Flaws is about Michelangelo, who I admire greatly. And in fact, Michelangelo said something. There was a biography on Michelangelo. He said that as an artist, when he looked at a block of marble, that he felt it was his job to remove the figure from the marble, to sort of chip the marble away and release the form within the form. And that's almost the most perfect description of art I think I've ever heard. But that Maestro Message you mentioned is about seeing the flaws, is that his statue of David has a great flaw in it, has a crack, and he incorporated that crack into his design. Now that is the way to work, to take a negative and make it a positive. He didn't destroy the statue. He didn't start a new one. He worked that into the form and the glory of that piece.
Another one was entitled The Power of the Dream.
Well, I think we all have a dream within, and I think that it's a powerful thing, that it's a seed within us that's just waiting to be nurtured. And each of those Maestro Messages you can read on the internet, but that's another great one, The Power of the Dream.
One more, Doug. The whys are out there. We need more of the why nots.
Well, that message is about the Football Hall of Famers, and it's about what I observed in their retirement. And the Football Hall of Famers, in their retirement, they are showing us a grace on how to transition in our lives, in their journey. It's a great transition to go from a star Football Hall of Famer to perhaps business career or retirement, and to watch them do it with grace is, I thought, one of the coolest things.
We're talking artist Doug West. When we come back, we'll ask him what he thinks when he sees one of his paintings in Time, Sports Illustrated, as the cover of the Baseball Hall of Fame yearbook, etc. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Anything is possible with Jack Crisula on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with the maestro, Doug West. Doug, you've painted the cover of the Baseball Hall of Fame induction yearbook for the last 5 years. The last 4 years, you've done works for the Football Hall of Fame, Time Magazine, Sports Illustrated, Fortune. What do you think when you see those?
The cover for the Baseball Hall of Fame yearbook, you know, they put that on the ticket stubs. And I realized that the smaller the paintings get, the better they look. No, I'm kidding. But the Sports Illustrated, Time Magazine, Baseball Hall of Fame yearbook, it's really each one, it's just a dream, Jack. You know, looking at the paintings, it's one thing to create the paintings. And then I step back and feel almost like a father, like they're my children when I look at the piece published. It's really two different worlds. But I still get the same thrill out of seeing a published piece as I did the first time.
One of your greatest is entitled The Dreamers.
Mm.
There's 26 people in that painting. Talk to us about your painting, The Dreamers.
Mm. Jack, this is a masterpiece. And it was a difficult list to create with The Dreamers, to figure out who were the dreamers that changed the world. But some of my favorites in that piece would be Gandhi. I'm a huge Gandhi fan. And Gandhi was the originator of peaceful resistance. And in his footsteps followed Martin Luther King Jr. And, of course, you have Rosa Parks. You have some great thinkers with Einstein. That piece is done in bright acrylics. Interesting note about that was I began two pieces. The first one was with my logical brain. I had a concept. I had to throw that one out. The second one was with feeling. And as I began to paint with feeling, the images just appeared. Another favorite in that piece is Abraham Lincoln. I'm a big Lincoln fan. I always wanted to paint Abraham Lincoln in that painting.
Talk to us about Cal Ripken.
Cal Ripken Jr., in the early 80s, I was a young guy and I was at a sports show. I did a painting of Cal Ripken. Cal Ripken had called and wanted to have four paintings done for his foundation, the Cal Ripken Senior Foundation. So we flew down to meet Cal. It had been about 20-something years since I had met him the last time. And those 20-something years prior, he had signed an original painting for me. And I had a photograph in a shoebox. So I blew up this photograph and went down to meet Cal Ripken and laid the picture out in front of him and said, could you sign one for my mom? Could you sign one for myself? 22 years later, Cal Ripken looked at that photograph and said, I remember this. You were at a show in Dearborn, Michigan. I was with Eddie Murray, another Baltimore Oriole. It was at a gymnasium. You were there with your mom and dad in the center of that show, and I walked out to sign that painting. Jack, is unbelievable that he would remember that. Who am I that he would remember the painting? I couldn't figure it out until quite a while afterwards we were talking to Ernie Banks and found out that athletes have an impeccable memory for moments in sports and a ball thrown, a slide into the plate, who the pitcher was. You know yourself this is true. But there seems to be some emotion or some intensity tied to every moment when they're at the plate. And I guess he carried that right into the gymnasium in Dearborn because he remembered the moment. It was unbelievable to me.
Now, some of them have a little trouble remembering about performance-enhancing drugs, but that's another story. Doug West, you work by yourself day after day, many times into 2, 3, 4, 5 in the morning, and once every 3-4 weeks, you become the center of the stage at an exhibit of your artwork. And you captivate the spectators there. You mesmerize them. How do you do that? That comes across very well tonight, I believe. Any listener saying, wow, this is a captivating man.
You know, when I was a little boy, we moved about 11 times. And I was the shyest kid in the world. And I was thrown into schools in the middle of a school year, and it forced me to come out of my shell. It's very easy for me in the studio to go into my shell within and paint, and that's how I believe I operate. But once I'm out in public, I just seem to open up like a butterfly, and I enjoy it. I never in a million years expected to speak to people about art. I always thought that my art would speak for itself. But you actually don't need to be a sports fan to enjoy a sports night. What we do is I present the side of the art that, of course, the ladies love, which is color and design and the feeling behind the painting. And then the men enjoy the sports, the moments spent with their dad, the moments that they still live in their memory.
If there's a parent tonight out there listening who believes that they have a son or daughter with a special dream, a special gift, the road less taken, what should that parent do to encourage that child to dream big and take risks?
I think that the problem that I see is that many parents want their children to pursue their dream. And I think we all come into the world with our own thumbprint. I think that kids should be allowed to pursue whatever their heart's desire is. And that dream should be nurtured. They can meet someone that's in the field. They can specialize their classes. And even if you know nothing about it, I think take an interest in what they're interested in, and amazing things happen. I see it with kids all the time. They grow and they really blossom in what they're interested in.
Everything you do, Doug West, has got to be the best. My mom used to say, we're too poor to buy cheap.
Yes.
And boy, you follow that. You never do anything cheap or average. It's got to be spectacular. Why?
It seemed like the smallest decision, Jack, to decide to do things well. It seemed like the smallest decision. But I found myself making that decision, and sometime later, year, two, 3 years later, I was surrounded by 30 paintings that I was proud of. Now, realize, 10 years earlier, I was surrounded by 10 paintings that were good, but that my heart didn't shine in. And when I looked at these pieces, I thought, I can never go back. To do something with excellence, I think, is we need to dedicate ourselves to it, and I think we'll be amazed at what we can accomplish.
The poem, The Man in the Glass, really says that very well. Last question, Doug. What advice would you give to our young listeners tonight?
Well, my grandfather was a farmer, and he knew a lot about seeds and planting and seasons and where and how to plant crops. I would say that your dream is a little seed, and at first it needs to be cared for. You know, if you've ever watched plants, they grow up very fragile. They need to be watered. They need the right amount of sunlight. They need the right atmosphere. And I think our dreams are like that initially. We need to let them grow slowly and let them blossom. Don't jump in there and try to grab the fruit before it's ready to grow.
Now, weeds, they grow quickly.
Huh? Watch out for the weeds.
Doug, it's been a great friendship with you for the last 10, 12 years. I really admire you, and you inspire people every day of your life. Keep it up. Our guest next Sunday will be another inspiration, Peter Praetorius, who in 1984 took a one-day trip to Mozambique, and it transformed his life. And now he's fed hundreds of thousands of starving children because of that one-day trip in 7 African countries. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible.